Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
The expert on the telephone is a resolution expert, well, among other things, from Northwestern Medicine, Mia Russev, a case therapist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Mia Russev, welcome to the show. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And I guess I'll start where I began here. Our resolutions, should we not even bother because so many of us don't keep them?
Right. I think that's a really good question, and it's more of a lifestyle than a resolution and making something change for one month or part of the year, and usually we do kind of drop. I think it's important to know why they drop off, and I'm interested to tell you a little bit more about that. And so I would say, should you have a resolution? No, you should try to have lifestyle changes at any time of the year. And if you're going to start in the new year, that's great.
Well, what's the difference? So if I say I want to change my lifestyle, this is what I'm going to do. How is that different than saying I resolve to lose 10 pounds or my lifestyle is going to change and therefore I will lose 10 pounds?
Yeah, I think the resolution title gives us, you know, it's too much pressure. It's not a lifestyle change. A resolution is something you're going to do for the short term in order to make a change. And it's loaded with too much pressure. So when you fail, then you have this other judgment on top of the failure that just repeats you feeling bad. And then you make more almost unconscious decisions that are not in your favor. So it would be better to learn what you're craving. So generally speaking, the urges that we have are for food, or you want to gain something positive, like start to exercise. And we usually have some kind of negative go-to, which has been evolutionarily advantageous for us. So we don't really think, you know, I'm hurting or I have this need. What should I do about it? We are instinctual, and usually chocolate and carbs and sugar make us feel better. But it's not always hunger that we're craving. You know, that's not always the urge.
Well, I read somewhere that if you make a resolution to do something, for example, learn a language, spend 10 minutes. That's the secret number, 10 minutes a day. Make a commitment to do 10 minutes to exercise, whatever it is, 10 minutes. If the resolution is the reverse, like I want to stop smoking or I want to stop eating so much, perhaps, think about it incrementally and actually write it down in some sort of log and keep track of how it's one less cigarette a day. Are both of is that more doable? Is what I read correct?
Yeah, I think so. It is more doable, and it's the incremental change, and so it's being accountable. Another thing I would add is doing it with someone else, like whether it's a support group or you and your friend are going to start going to the gym or whatever. Having that connection enables you to keep at it, both for accountability and to having the social connection. You just feel more comfortable.
Well, and also it's motivating too, because
you
can look at that other person and say, I didn't do it this week, or they will say, come on, let's go. Come on, go ahead and let's do whatever it is, fill in the blank. Or if it's the most common resolution would be what? I'm guessing weight loss.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, my go-to when I think of a resolution is weight loss or dieting or exercise. But I guess it, you know, could be putting a vice of some kind or adding on some kind of anti-vice, if you will. But those vary. I think that the common go-tos are gaining exercise or losing weight. Yeah.
Well, Mia Russev is a case therapist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Mia Russev, a case therapist with Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Mia, I have a question for you from a listener who says, This is a texter, 312-981-7200, if you want to get in on it or call. You can call as well. It may sound silly, but should we be rewarding ourselves for meeting the small goals as a part of our resolution? So in other words, the texter didn't say this. I want to be clear. I'm saying this. Yeah. So in other words, if the goal is to lose 10 pounds at the end of a week that I did well, I can then have an entire chocolate cake.
Yeah, I think it is important to reward yourself, but not to defeat yourself. If the goal is to lose 10 pounds, I wouldn't eat the whole cake at the end of it.
You're no fun.
You would need some kind of other reward, or to make sure that you're really present in the moment and enjoy the piece of chocolate candy. I'm not saying don't have it. I'm saying eat it responsibly and don't overdo it.
Do you actually see people for depression in your practice because over and over and over they've self-defeated? In other words, they've tried to give up smoking. They've tried to lose 25 pounds, whatever it is, and they've been unsuccessful over and over and over and now are suffering depression as a result?
I think that's very common. I don't know that that's, you know, the presentation that I see all the time, but I certainly think it's common. I think that's why this is a good conversation for folks, because everybody kind of relates to it. And we have this instinctual response to our own bodily urges. And whenever we're uncomfortable or unhappy or in some way uncomfortable, let's say, you're going to try to fix that. And if you don't know exactly what you're dealing with, if it's a past pain, if it's a future worry, you are going to continually try to feed that, and it's not going to be successful because there's nothing current that you can address.
So what is the best way? So we've talked about a little bit about what not to do. What is the best way to go ahead and do it? If we want to stop doing something, anything, say, I keep saying stop smoking, but it can be a long list. It can be anything. Or if we want to do something completely different, like learn a language. If we want to, our newscaster Bob Kessler said he wanted to do backflips, learn how to do those, which I'm concerned about. I'm not sure he's insured for that. but if we want to, how is the best way to go about it?
I would say definitely incremental. So he might need to stretch before he gets into a backflip, right? You have to ease into things. You know, if you want to run a marathon, you got to get up off the couch. So small goals are certainly important. Then don't sabotage yourself when you meet the goal by eating the whole cake, like you said. And at the same time, when you mess up, I think this also is helpful for the motivating partner. You will both mess up. And you both can see that it's normal to mess up. You don't have to beat yourself up and then quit altogether. You need to consistently do it over and over again until it's a habit.
Now, we're a social species. So I run a little bit. I would not call myself a runner because I'm not very good. But I've got one of those apps. And all of those apps, you can be social. So if I ran a 5K or even ran around the block, I can post it. I keep track of it. And then you post it and you can talk if you'd like. I don't do this, but you can talk to all these other people who have run around the block, who have done the same thing that you've done. Is that we talked about how that can be motivating, but can that be self-defeating as well?
Yeah.
Because those other people, I may be embarrassed after a while, or I may say, oh, I just can't do this anymore and give up because I see what everyone, and I've run 5Ks where I see the little kids go, whew, right by me. And it's like, that's depressing.
Yeah, I think you can definitely sabotage yourself there too. Social media and those apps have increased anxiety. We're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. We're constantly seeing that everybody has this great whatever they have, but they're only showing you a snippet. You know, it's just the tiniest little portion of what they want you to see. So they don't boast about the week that they sat on the couch and didn't run, because nobody wants to share that. I think it's important that we all experience things. You know, I think it's normal to be abnormal. I wish that that would become kind of commonplace.
What do you mean by that?
Go ahead. I mean that everybody is dealing with something, and you usually think, you know, I'm depressed, or I'm sad, or I think too much, or I do this, or whatever. Those are common. That is the normal way to be. It's not abnormal. Everybody experiences stuff, and we have to just figure out how to deal with it the best we can.
A texter says, I live alone, gained 40 pounds since March of 2020. Well, you're not alone,
COVID.
Texter.
COVID, yeah, not, yeah, alone, yeah, not alone, not, yeah, alone.
So has COVID created all of these kinds of problems, you think, that have gotten worse, or the reverse? I'm home all the time, so finally I get a chance to exercise, if that's the goal. Finally, I get a chance to fill in the blank, it doesn't matter what it is, and achieve the goal.
I think in the beginning we had that. COVID did allow us to have more time, and everybody was like on the baking bandwagon, right?
Yes.
And
they,
you know, making your first loaf of sourdough bread or what have you. But I think ultimately we get so caught up in the uncertainty of everything, and then the politics and the negativity, that we get overwhelmed and we just stop. So there's a few that would have succeeded in being successful during the pandemic in their goals. But I think more often than not, we've gained weight, we've done less, just because there's so much on our minds.
Well, this one person says, I'm putting you to work here. I'm ruminating about my recent divorce, had COVID, lost my job, now unemployed. I can't get off the sofa. What do I do?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for, you know, reaching out. I think that I'm just going to focus on that. Reaching out. If you're just stuck, then you have to reach out and get some alternative coping skills. You have to get the pain out so that you can function. Whether it's this sadness, the grief about the divorce, or being stuck in the past or worried about the future, it helps to get that out and talk to somebody so you could put things in perspective. Even with a divorce, your life is not over.
When you say talk to someone, are you thinking professional help?
Yeah, I do. I do, partly because that's my profession. That's what I do. But also, there's a inherent positive having a third person, an outside perspective. You don't feel like you're burdening your family and your loved ones. You know, a lot of times I'll hear that from clients. They're like, you know, my husband just doesn't want to hear me complain anymore. You know, so it's, if I'm not going to do something, he doesn't want to hear about it. And going back to resolutions, I think that's very important and key, is that we all know what we should do. The real power is putting that into practice. And that's day by day, step by step, doing what you know you need to do.
Well, you know, I'm concerned about the listener. I really am. So we have your phone number, listener, but you can call us, 312-981-7200. Can we put this listener in touch with you?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You have my phone number, and I can give her some resources if need be, and I'll check her for safety.
Yeah, it's the latter that I'm most concerned about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mia Rusev, thank you so much, case therapist at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And yeah, I resolve to say Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well, Steve. Thanks so much.